Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Christ Central. My name is Owen. I get to serve as one of the pastors here. If you're joining us for the first time today, welcome to our church. I'm so glad that you're here. Or maybe today's the first time in a while. In that case, welcome back and welcome home. And to our college students, welcome back from retreat. It's great to see you all together. I trust that you had a blessed time together away at retreat. And I just get to see everyone together on the first Sunday of the year. So last fall, we did a sermon series called Spiritual Formation Practices, and in that series, we learned how to abide in Jesus and to become like Jesus by doing the spiritual formation practices, things like prayer, Sabbath, solitude, scripture, fasting, community, generosity, service, and witness through hospitality. Those are the habits and the rhythms through which we can be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did, which is to love God and to love people. Now, for the month of January, we're going to do a short sermon series on one spiritual formation practice that often gets overlooked because it's so familiar, we can take it for granted and we can forget that it's actually a spiritual formation practice. And that is the practice of corporate worship. Corporate worship, when the people of God gather together on Sunday mornings, like what we're doing right now, is the most important and the most fundamental spiritual formation practice there is. Week after week, as we gather together to worship, when we sing together, confess, pray, listen, receive, and are sent, something profound is happening to us and in us. You see, God is not only receiving our worship, but God is also forming us. You see, corporate worship is not just something that we do for God. It's also a time when God does something in us, where God shapes us as a gathered people into the beautiful image of Jesus. Spiritual formation happens during and in the context of corporate worship. So the goal of this sermon series is pretty simple. It's that we as a church family would see corporate worship as a precious communal and weekly spiritual formation practice that we do together and that we would commit to it together as a family of God. Now, if you don't normally make New Year's resolutions, that's okay, but could I maybe suggest that you would consider making this one of your New Year's resolutions, that you would commit to the weekly practice of corporate worship. Now, this will be a four-part sermon series. In sermon one, we'll talk about the practice of corporate worship. In sermon two, we'll talk about the flow and the elements of corporate worship at our church at Christ Central. Sermon three will be on the practice of corporate singing. And sermon four will be on the practice of the Lord's Supper. In sermons three and four, we want to pay particular attention to those two elements of singing together and sharing in the Lord's Supper so that we might approach those elements with greater understanding and appreciation and that we would find those things to be just richer for us as we participate in them. You know, my prayer is that as we grow in our understanding of corporate worship, that we would also grow in our love for and our appreciation of corporate worship. I'm hoping and praying that corporate worship isn't something that we just do on a Sunday because that's what Christians do. It's just what we do. It's just habit. I want more than that for us. I want us to come to realize that corporate worship, it's a holy encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, where he meets with us every week, week after week after week, and he slowly but surely transforms us into his beautiful image. Now, if you have your Bibles, be ready to turn with me to two places. First, we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to read from John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. People of God, this is the word of our God. Would you please give it your careful attention? Because God speaks to us in the reading of his word. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 and following. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. This is now our Lord Jesus teaching. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Today's sermon will be structured around three key questions. First question, what is corporate worship? Second, what is the purpose of corporate worship? And third, why should I participate in corporate worship? Let's start with the first question. What is corporate worship? Well, at its heart, in its essence, corporate worship is an encounter between the living God and his gathered people. Isaiah chapter 6 gives us a vivid picture of what worship is. The prophet Isaiah began his account like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I want you to notice something. I want you to notice where Isaiah was. He was not alone in nature going on a walk. It was not a private devotional moment in his bedroom. He was in the temple, the place of corporate and gathered worship, when he encountered the living God in worship. And he tells us what happened when he met with God in the temple. Four things happened. First, he saw God's holiness and glory, verses 1 through 4. Second, he saw his sin and was convicted by it, verse 5. He received grace from God, verses 6 and 7, and then fourth, he was sent by God, verse 8. And in John 15, Jesus said that the Christian life is fundamentally about abiding in him, remaining in him, abiding in his love, and bearing fruit. So when we bring Isaiah chapter 6 and John 15 together, we can come up with this working definition of corporate worship. Okay, this is my definition of corporate worship, and I want to share it with you. So what is corporate worship? Corporate worship is where the risen Lord Jesus gathers us into his presence so that we might abide in him as we behold his glory, see our sin, receive his grace, and then are sent into the world as his witnesses. Now, next week, we're going to see how our corporate worship services at Christ Central are based upon this basic pattern, right? First, we behold the glory of God. Second, we see the gravity of our sin. Third, we receive the grace of God through the means of grace. Fourth, we respond with gratitude to God's grace. And fifth, we are blessed by God as he sends us into the world as witnesses and ambassadors for his son, Jesus Christ. You know, corporate worship is not about us gathering together and then summoning God to come in to meet with us. We don't summon God, by the way. It's God summoning us to come and to meet with him. And that's why we gather together on Sunday mornings, because we know that God will summon us into his presence to worship him through what we call the call to worship. You know, in our culture of consumerism, with our consumeristic mindset, it's easy to think that corporate worship is something that we consume, something that we enjoy, something that we can even evaluate, right? Did I like the worship service? Did I like the music and the songs that we sang? Did I like the sermon? Was it engaging? Did I feel blessed, inspired, or moved emotionally? And if we did, then it was a good worship service. But if we didn't, it was a bad worship service, right? You know, corporate worship is not a product for us to enjoy or to evaluate. The book of Hebrews in chapter 12, if you go and read it, it's an amazing chapter. It tells us that when the church gathers for corporate worship, we don't merely meet together in this room. But we come into the heavenly reality of God's very presence. Hebrews 12 tells us that we come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We come to innumerable angels and festive gathering. We come to God, the judge of all. We come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. And we come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. You see, corporate worship is where heaven and earth overlap. Here's the thing. When we gather together for worship, we're not just gathering here in Centerville. We're also gathering in the very presence of God. We're in two places at once. And that amazing truth, that astounding truth, ought to change how we view and approach corporate worship. Because in corporate worship, we are meeting with God. Whether you like the songs or not, whether you thought the sermon was good or not, whether you were emotionally moved or inspired or not, a sense of awe and reverence and joy ought to fill this room. Not because there was a full band, not because the preacher is so engaging, but because of what's actually happening during corporate worship. We're actually meeting with God. We're meeting with Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. We're meeting with the angels of heaven. We're meeting with the spirits of righteous men made perfect who have gone before us. So whether it's 10 of us, or 500 of us. Whether there's a full band on stage or a stripped down set like today. Whether the sermon was good or bad in your opinion. It doesn't change what we're doing. We're meeting with the living God of heaven and earth in corporate worship. And that's what makes worship awesome and amazing. And that happens every Sunday when churches of all types and all sizes gather together in houses and buildings to worship God. And it also happens right here on Sunday mornings when we gather together for corporate worship. So what is corporate worship? At its heart, in its essence, it is the gathered people of God meeting with the triune God. That's what worship is. Second question, what is the purpose of corporate worship? Well, first and foremost, corporate worship is for the glory of God. God is glorified as we worship, praise, and thank him for who he is and for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. Corporate worship is when the people of God gather in the presence of God to behold, appreciate, and declare the glory of God. The glory of God's holiness, the glory of God's sovereignty, the glory of God's wisdom, the glory of God's love. All of that glory is revealed in his works of creation and providence, but they are supremely and ultimately revealed in his work of redemption, which was accomplished through the life, death, and resurrection of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 6, the first thing the prophet Isaiah encountered was God's holiness and glory. It says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Worship exists because God is holy and glorious. Not because God is useful. Not because God can be manipulated or managed by us to have him give us what we want. Worship exists because God is holy. God is glorious. Corporate worship reminds us of who God is and of who we are in Christ. in corporate worship, we remember that God is holy, that God is glorious, that God is sovereign, God is wise, God is faithful, and God is loving, merciful, and gracious. In corporate worship, we remember who we are. We belong to the triune God. We are the children of God the Father. We are the bride of God the Son. We are the temple of God the Holy Spirit. In corporate worship, we remember that God is worthy of our worship, our trust, and our love. No matter what we may be going through, no matter what our earthly circumstances may be, no matter what has happened, no matter what has not happened, no matter how you feel like your life is going, in worship we remember that God is trustworthy and God is worthy of our worship and love. You know, corporate worship is not about how we feel about God. It's about how God actually is, no matter how we feel about him. Our feelings change, our circumstances change, people change, we change. But God doesn't change. God is unchanging and unchangeable. The Bible says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So corporate worship, first and foremost, is about and for the glory of God. But it's also for the spiritual formation of God's people. You see, God's glory and our spiritual formation are connected and they're inseparable. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says this. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord Jesus, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are transformed by beholding the glory of Christ. We become like what we worship. You see, corporate worship is the primary means that the Holy Spirit uses to hold before us the glory of Christ. Through the songs that we sing, through the prayers that we pray, through our confessions, through the sacraments, and especially through the word as it's read and preached, the glory of Christ is held before us. You see, we behold the glory of Christ in and through all the elements of the worship service, not just the preaching of the word, but all the elements of the worship service. And as we behold the glory of Christ, do you know what we're doing? We're abiding in Christ. You abide in Christ by beholding his beauty and glory. And Jesus said, "Abide in me and you will bear much fruit." Now, I want you to notice something important about John 15, verse 5. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." Branches, plural. Not branch, singular. Branches, plural. You see, abiding in Jesus was never meant to be an individual activity, but a communal activity. It's something that we do together as a community of believers and followers of Jesus. From the very beginning, abiding in Christ is always meant to be a communal reality. You see, God forms us not as individuals, but as a gathered, worshiping people of God. And corporate worship changes us. It grows us, doesn't it? Think with me. We grow in awe and joy as we sing of God's glory and goodness. We grow in humility as we confess our sins. We grow in gratitude as we receive the assurance of pardon for our sins. We grow in dependence as we pray. We grow in faith and unity as we confess our common faith together. We grow in generosity and trust as we give our tithes and our offerings joyfully and cheerfully. We grow in gratitude and joy as we hear grace stories. We grow in faith, hope, and love as we hear the word of God read and preached. We grow in intimacy and unity as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. And we grow in boldness and joy as we receive God's benediction and as he sends us into the world as witnesses and ambassadors of his Son, Jesus Christ. This weekly rhythm of corporate worship does something to us and in us over time. It reorders our loves and our desires. It retrains our spiritual instincts, and it reorients our priorities. This is spiritual formation, and it happens as we behold the glory of Christ together in the context of corporate worship. So what is the purpose of corporate worship? First, to glorify God, and second, to be formed into the image of Christ as we behold the glory of Christ in the context of corporate worship. Third and final question, why should I participate in corporate worship? Let me give you just a few reasons why you ought to joyfully and willingly and faithfully participate in corporate worship. First, most important, because God commands it for our good. The Bible doesn't present corporate worship as something optional that we can do if we want to, but it presents it as a requirement, a good, holy, and helpful requirement. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25 says this, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The book of Hebrews exhorts us to not neglect meeting together for the purpose of corporate worship and fellowship. God commands corporate worship from us, not because he needs it, but because we need it. Second, because apart from Christ, we will drift. Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." You know, when corporate worship becomes optional, when it becomes inconsistent, it will have a negative impact on your relationship with Christ. We may still believe the gospel with our heads, but we will stop. Slowly we will stop cherishing the gospel in our hearts and living from it. We will drift into self-reliance, spiritual fatigue, love for the world and for the things of the world, and in functional unbelief. And you will begin to live your life as if God doesn't exist. Corporate worship is the primary way that Jesus keeps us connected to himself so that we might abide in him and bear much fruit. Third, because corporate worship forms us even when we don't feel it. You know, corporate worship is a lot like eating meals at home. At times, the meals you eat at home are amazing, delicious, the best meal you've ever had, right? Amazing. But most of the time, the meals you eat at home are just good. But they're nourishing, nutritious, good for your body. And you need those meals, even if those meals at home aren't the best meal you've ever had, right? In the same way, corporate worship can be powerful and dramatic and life-changing at times. But most of the time, it's just good. But it nourishes your soul, even if it wasn't the best worship service you've ever attended, right? Spiritual formation is usually and normally a slow, long, and undramatic process. The Spirit of God is at work in you, even when you feel dry, even when you feel tired, even when it seems like nothing is changing about you, but the Spirit is still at work. See, spiritual formation is much like the growth of a tree. You can't see a tree grow in real time. Have you tried? Look at a tree. You look at it for 24 hours straight, you're not going to see any growth. But over time, you will see growth. After 5 years, you will see growth. After 10 years, you will see growth. After 20 years, you'll see tremendous growth. And in the same way, your spiritual formation may seem slow. You won't see any changes in real time. The way you were last week and the way you are today, you're going to feel like, man, I haven't changed. The way you were last month, the way you are today, you feel like you haven't changed. It can be months and you feel like you haven't changed. But when you follow Jesus for years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, there will be significant growth and change and blossoming in your life. Your spiritual formation is like the growth of a tree, slow, steady, and lasting. Fourth, because the church needs you and you need the church. You see, corporate worship is not just about your personal spiritual formation, as important as that is, but corporate worship is for the spiritual formation of the whole body, the whole family of God, of which you are a member. You know, when we sing, we don't just sing for God or to God. We also sing to one another. You may not know this, but as you sing of the goodness of God, someone near you needed to hear that and to remember that God is good because they're going through a hard time. Or there are going to be times when you're going to need someone else to sing of the goodness of God because you need to remember that God is good, and it's been hard to remember that because life has been hard. And sometimes there are going to be times when you're not going to have the strength to sing or to pray. All you can do is just sit and listen. And at times like that, you lean upon your church family to sing the songs that you can't sing, to pray the prayers that you can't pray. And you lean upon your church family. This is why in-person corporate worship is so important and necessary. Now, virtual worship at home by yourself was a necessity during an extraordinary time in the world's history, right, with a global pandemic. But that's not what's meant to be normal or ordinary. What's normal, what's ordinary, what's good is for the people of God to gather together physically in the presence of God so that we can worship together and encourage one another with our fellowship together as we worship together. All right, so what? Let's get to the main point or the main takeaway. What's the main takeaway for today? First, let me remind you what corporate worship is. Corporate worship is the place where the risen and living Lord Jesus gathers us into his presence so that we can behold his glory, see our sin, receive his grace, and be sent into the world as his witnesses. It's the place where we encounter the living God. It's the place where heaven and earth overlap for an hour or so on Sunday mornings for us. Now, if we really believe that, if we really believe that that's what happens on Sunday mornings during corporate worship, then I have a few questions for us. Then shouldn't we view and approach corporate worship with a greater sense of awe and wonder and joy and eagerness? Shouldn't corporate worship be something that we look forward to as the highlight of our week? Shouldn't corporate worship be something that we prioritize over other good things, whether it's recreation or even youth sports? Listen. If God doesn't exist, if Jesus is not the Son of God, if Jesus is not the Savior of the world, if this earthly life is all that there is, then forget church. Don't go to worship services. Go do 100 other fun things on Sunday mornings. Don't waste your time here. What we do here is make believe, it's foolishness, right? You don't have to be here. But, if God does exist, if Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and if there is an eternal life in the world to come, then can anything be more important than gathering together with the people of God to worship God together? Can anything be more worthwhile than to worship the risen and reigning Lord Jesus Christ, who will return one day to make all things new and all things right? In other words, can anything be more important in this life than the practice of corporate worship? It's either a waste of time or the most important thing. You can't have it. It's one or the other. It's not something in between. You understand that, right? Today, as we begin a new year, as your pastor, I want to lovingly challenge you to resolve in your heart, by the enabling grace of God, to make the practice of corporate worship central in your life. Not periphery, but central. Meaning, make it a weekly practice and commitment. Not every other week, not once a month, not when it's convenient, not when you have nothing better to do, not when your kids don't have a sports tournament. But every single Sunday, commit to gathering with the people of God to practice corporate worship so that you might behold the glory of Jesus and be transformed into his likeness. Amen? That's kind of weak. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. God heard you. I heard you too. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, forgive us for letting the weekly practice of corporate worship become so familiar that we have forgotten how glorious and how precious and how amazing and how astounding it is. Because when we gather together, we're not just with one another, we're with you in your presence. You are here by your Spirit. And I pray that that reality would transform how we view, how we prepare for, and how we approach corporate worship together as a church family. May 2026 be a year that we are all transformed from one degree to another because we have given ourselves faithfully and joyfully to the weekly practice of corporate worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.